Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Welcome to the show. And, you know, there is just so much going on that it is tough to kind of stick to the schedule I want to stick to. There's things that we really should talk about on the economy. There's things we should talk about on the global economy with China and Russia's attack on the dollar aided by the IMF and the UN. All sorts of things. 4.5 billion, the article, by the way, is posted. You can read it for yourself. 4.5 billion in illegal confiscations by governments from private citizens. That's right. You know, you are now guilty until proven innocent. You are not innocent until proven guilty. But let's face it, the pressing topic of our time, of this time, of the current time, is Islamic extremism, radical jihad, radical Muslims. Now, you have heard all the things about Obama and Hillary and Valerie, etc., the other, at best, Muslim sympathizers that pepper the administration. And I might add, the administration has made sure peppers all sorts of agencies in the government, including security agencies. But what you haven't heard, or what you haven't had put together, are a whole bunch of dots. You know, one of the things I notice about the media is they report on a story, they leave it, they report on the next story, they leave it, they report on the next story. And there's nobody at most media outlets that are connecting all these stories they've reported on, because the connection of the stories, the connection of the dots, tells the real story, the big story, the macro story. So let's go over a few dots, shall we? Okay. The State Department, and I believe the articles posted, were very heavy on terror, or on articles under the terror category this week and under family safety. But there's some articles that will just blow your mind. I mean, stuff that you have not heard. Make sure you read them. So the State Department came out at the beginning of the week. And, you know, they have had spokesmen who have just had inane comments. We've talked about them in the past. But this week, one of their inane comments was, the way to show terrorists who's who and who's boss is to have a good G20 climate change meeting in Paris. Okay, you bet. Ben Rhodes came out on all the Sunday talk shows. He's kind of, I guess everybody has figured out at the administration that nobody believes Susan Rice, because she's kind of the Sunday talk show liar for the administration. You know, the Benghazi video and a whole bunch of other stuff. So now they trotted out Ben Rhodes. He's 25 or 26 years old. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. And he's your, like, assistant deputy national security advisor to Susan Rice. So your life and the life of your family is in the hands of Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes. And then, of course, they're overseen by Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama. That should make you feel really, really safe. I mean, I sleep well at night knowing this stuff. So Ben Rhodes comes out, and once again, these progressives are really good at this. Looks right in the camera, and with earnest eyes and, you know, a somber countenance and a deliberate delivery, he says, oh, the vetting process is absolutely top-notch. It's long. People are subjected to robust. This is the new word of the week, by the way. All the progressives are using the word robust. Are subject to a robust vetting process. And it takes 18 to 24 months to be vetted and so on and so forth and yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, you have the former head of the Pentagon Intelligence. You have the current FBI director, Comey. And you have a number of other people, the list is too long to mention, who acknowledge that the vetting process does usually take 18 to 24 months, but they point out that it's kind of difficult to vet people when there's no database on the person. Now, what you may or may not have heard is that in the last 3 days prior to this show, the Honduras stopped 5 folks from the Middle East, Syria, etc., who had claimed to be refugees, but were trying to get in the United States on fake passports and actually had a terror background. There were 8 more stopped at the Mexican border. God only knows how many weren't stopped. There were several more stopped, I believe, in the Netherlands. In other words, over the course of the week, give or take a few terrorists, there were 18 to 20 people stopped. So you know there were people that weren't coming here from various places and posing as refugees or alternatively posing as tourists. So the vetting process, folks, is, yes, exactly what the administration says, long. That's it. It's not robust. I mean, I think the people on the ground who are doing the vetting are doing the best they can. But as Director Comey has pointed out, if you don't have a database, there's no way to really vet somebody because there's no information on them. And anybody who is well-trained can lie their way through an interview. I mean, look at the President of the United States lied to the American people for the last 7 years on TV. You don't think a terrorist could lie to INS or ICE agent or whichever particular agency happens to be doing the quote-unquote vetting and the interviews? I'm going to tell you a little bit about, toward the end of this show, I'm going to tell you about the Clarion Project and DeBeek. Two kind of antithetical websites. DeBeek being the newsletter for ISIS, and the Clarion Project being kind of the anti-Islamic Jihad site. And I've interviewed some of those people. If you go back, Tom Trento and Claire Lopez, you can find them in the archives a year and a half ago. And they are good, they are tough, they are smart, and they tell the truth. And there's a really interesting series of articles actually that came out by a guy by the name of Ryan Morrow, who's at the Clarion Project, and I'm going to share some really interesting thoughts that you probably haven't thought about on this refugee crisis and why refugees, if properly vetted, forget the humane, forget all the moral crap that the progressives throw out, why refugees are actually good for national security in this current global war with radical Islam. It's a real eye-opener. I mean, it really clicks its logic. Now, after Ben Rhodes got through lying to us, both by representation and omission, he forgot to tell you there are no... It's a robust process that takes 18 to 24 months, but we don't have any databases. Okay, then the Sunday after Paris, these poor people in Paris, and I guess the death toll is now up because some of the folks in the hospital died. Friday night, these people were terrorized and killed. Another 350 plus or minus injured, 99 of them gravely. Some of them have now died. 36 hours later, Barack Obama releases 5 Gitmo prisoners and sends them back to the Mideast for a year of, like, house arrest. We know how that worked out with the 5 Taliban generals, don't we? Now, what kind of message does this send? Better yet, what kind of message does Barack Obama want it to send? Then, of course, we have Obama's press conference and speech where the death of the death and injury of these French folks, 500 people. I mean, this is a lot of people to be hurt and killed. He called a setback in his brilliant plan to contain ISIS. Then we have John Kerry's comments. And you, depending upon what stations you listen to, you may have heard of this, you may not, but it is unbelievable. And the articles are posted. Please read it. You can see his own quotes. I'm just going to paraphrase. Basically, he said that these attacks were horrible, and these attacks were different than Charlie Hebdo. You know, in January, when the magazine that satirizes the Prophet Muhammad was attacked and a number of them killed, he said that that attack against that magazine, you could see the legitimacy, and then he caught himself and said, I mean, the rationale. You know, SOP Kerry? No, I'm sorry. I don't see the legitimacy in innocent people expressing an opinion getting killed for it. And I don't see the rationale behind the killers in wanting to kill these unarmed folks who are merely speaking their mind. In the case of Charlie Hebdo, actually doing some pretty funny cartoons. I mean, this wasn't like vitriolic, you know, pages of speech and anti-Muslim hatred. And Kerry did not even mention the Jewish folks that got gunned down that same day as the Charlie Hebdo massacre by one of the folks who had also terrorized the magazine. The guy went directly to a Jewish deli. He sought out a Jewish deli. He admitted in talking to French TV cameras during the hostage siege, etc. standoff, that he went there to kill Jews, and he killed four Jews. Kerry didn't even mention them. I mean, you got to really think about that for a moment. Then France unleashes at least partial hell. I mean, France does not have the biggest air force in the world, and for that matter, neither does Russia, although I have some interesting stats for you on what's really going on with Russia over there. So France starts an immediate bombing campaign on Raqqa, on command and control centers and storage supplies and depots and gathering centers and training centers. And when asked where they got the coordinates and the intelligence, you're going to love this, they got them from us. They got the coordinates of all these juicy targets in Raqqa, the capital of ISIS, from the United States. Which brings you to the next question, why the hell didn't we take out those targets? Evidently, we've had these coordinates and this intelligence for a long, long time. Then, we have the tampering with intelligence thing. Now, this happened about 3 weeks ago. I mentioned it. There were some articles up. You can Google it up and get more and specific information. But this is where 50 intelligent analysts from various agencies, including the Pentagon, CIA, etc., put their careers, maybe their lives, on the line and came out and said that their assessments of ISIS, which was that it was kicking our butt and we weren't containing it at all, were being altered by top brass at the Pentagon and the administration. In other words, when Barack Obama stands up there a week ago, not even a week ago, this past Monday, which is the next thing we're going to get to, and says the day of the terror attacks, which is, excuse me, not Monday, but a week ago, in Paris, that morning, hours before the attacks, he talks about ISIS is contained. that, and then says that's the intelligence. What he forgets to tell you is that's the intelligence after he altered or had the intelligence altered. You think he's telling you the truth, folks? You liberal listeners out there, is any of this like making a dent at all? You have ISIS promising on the one hand to infiltrate the refugee stream with ISIS fighters. You have them boasting about already getting 4,000 fighters through the refugee streams into Europe. We know at least one, and actually reports are three now, because the number of terrorists operating in France and related to indirectly or directly last Friday's big Paris attacks now is 20 to 25. You know, they took out that one cell with the honcho guy. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. They found others. They're chasing two guys around Europe. And what did your humble host tell you last week? There is no logistical way that these many sites, with these many people seen at each site of terror, and these many people hurt, there's no way all that was done with seven or eight people. It just isn't physically possible. You can't physically get from site A to site B. And lo and behold, a week later, oh, now there was 20 to 25 involved. Okay. Look, anybody can make a mistake. You know, if you take all these dots, and you take Obama's threat to veto any bill to pause the refugee stream from the Mideast and improve the vetting. And I'm going to talk about the vetting here in just a moment, because the vetting is really a two-step process that most people don't know about. First of all, the refugees are designated as refugees by the United Nations. And of course, the United Nations is our big friend. They love the United States. You bet. And each nation can kind of designate what types of refugees they want the UN to designate for that nation. Did you know that the Obama administration designated as one of its sectors that it would like in refugees, LGBT, gay refugees, and called them a persecuted class because they couldn't marry in their home countries? Because homosexuality is like a huge deal in the Muslim world, and you probably lose your life over it. So, what Obama did not designate is Christians. Even though Christians, proportionately speaking now, as a percentage of total populations, have by far suffered the worst. They have been the victims of a genocide. The poor Muslims, many of them moderate, not all of them ISIS sympathizers, the poor Muslims have lost many more people. But they have exponentially more people on a percentage basis. So the result is 10% of the give or take refugee population is Christian. Less than 2% of the refugees coming in this country are Christian. Pretty interesting. The UN, by the way, supposedly has a vetting process for these folks, but don't count on it. The United States vetting process, as deficient as it is far better than the UN's. And the UN is where it starts. It's where the person who the United States is going to vet is selected and initially vetted. You know, even O'Reilly, over the course of this week, he was having some fun with Dennis Miller, who is hilarious. And both of them agreed that at the least, Barack Obama finally agreed, has, quote, Muslim sympathies, unquote. Wow, we're just now figuring this out. I mean, I'm glad we are, but I think I've been jumping up and down about this for 3 years. And I don't think, quote, having Muslim sympathies, unquote, is half strong enough, but at least it's a start. In addition, Erdogan, he is the head honcho of Turkey, who's supposedly a NATO member, and a strong supporter of, if not a member of, the Muslim Brotherhood. You remember the Muslim Brotherhood, buddy, 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 with Barry and Valerie and the White House crew? You know, the same Muslim Brotherhood that got kicked out by 36 million really pissed off Egyptians. The Muslim Brotherhood that wrote the white papers on how to infiltrate through nonviolent jihad the West and bring it down from within. It's in writing. You can look it up on the web. And they're doing it. The Muslim Brotherhood that has spawned and funded numerous terrorist groups around the world. You mean that Muslim Brotherhood? So on the one hand, Erdogan is given a pass by Obama because Obama loves the Muslim Brotherhood and Erdogan loves the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's one of the reasons that the United States has been loath, reluctant, slow to stop Turkey's bombing of the Kurds, that's a long feud in Turkey, who are America's allies, and various sects of which just defeated ISIS on the town which lies in the middle of Mosul and Raqqa, the major supply route between Syria and Iraq. Does this make your head spin at all? You can bomb our allies because you like the Muslim Brotherhood, and allies, please take this city back for us, and we'll give you air support. Wow. Pretty amazing. And then, think about this. Ben Rhodes assures us that this vetting process, along with a bunch of other Democrats, is robust. Extensive, intensive, in depth. The FBI director, as I told you, says, there ain't no database. I can't vet somebody where I got no data on them. Ben Rowe, if you put this in context, let me give you, I told you about the Kurds and the bombing and all that stuff. Think about this little conundrum. So, Obama has said, you can Google it up, that he doesn't really want to support various groups which are supposedly pro-West, anti-Assad, anti-ISIS. He doesn't want to support them because he can't properly vet them. Yet he provides billions of dollars of arms to A, the Muslim Brotherhood, $1.5 billion while it was in power in Egypt, and an estimated $500 million to $1 billion, a lot of it funneled through where? Oh, Benghazi. That's right, Benghazi. Wow, this all really starts to tie in, doesn't it? To various quote-unquote opposition groups. And we find out that most of those weapons and armament, in addition to what they capture from the Iraqi army, has gone to ISIS. So Barack Obama, on one hand, says, I don't want to give arms to our quote-unquote allies because we can't vet them. On the other hand, gives arms to allies he can't vet that then get turned over to ISIS. And then stands in front of the TV cameras here at home and says that the Syrian refugees are fully vetted. robustly vetted. Does any of this make sense to you? I mean, it's kind of a hypocrisy within a hypocrisy, within a lie, within an enigma, encased in a lie, wrapped in an enigma. It's just unbelievable. And does the press pick up on all these dots? No, they don't. No, they don't. So the Democrats are arguing this is a really rigorous process. And you know what? It may well be. But a process doesn't mean squat. If there's no result to the process because there's no data with which to conduct the process. It's kind of like Obamacare. It's the same ruse. I'm going to talk about it. What Obama is doing right now is his MO. And we should be used to it. But I think everybody is so fixated on the terror aspect of this, they're not looking at the bigger picture. In Obamacare, the Democrats jump up and down and say, look at all these people who weren't insured, who are now insured, or at least insurable. What they don't tell you is there's no doctors for them. There's no nurses for them. And many of the doctors who are out there in the understaffed medical populations will no longer take Medicaid, which is where most of these Obama healthcare people are going, Medicaid patients, because the reimbursements have been cut under Obamacare to where the doctor loses money. And we all know what happens when you're in business and you lose money. You go broke. It's the same thing, folks. It's his same MO. I mean, the same thing. He's already threatened to veto a bill that the House has passed to simply slow down the process, step back, take a look at it, get the UN deal fixed, get the holes in the American system fixed, figure out some kind of database, etc., and some other suggestions here by Ryan Morrow that I'm going to get to in a minute. The Senate, where this bill will go next, Harry Reid has already said he's going to block it. And the president has already said he's going to veto it. You know, it's almost like this president would like to see a Trojan horse come into the country. The Democrats throw around various numbers. Only 2% of the refugees are combat-aged, ready and able men. First of all, their numbers are off. But you know what? For argument's sake, let's take their numbers. So if 10,000 refugees come in the country, and giving the Democrats and the progressives benefit of the doubt, they are all vetted robustly over 2 years, and 2% of that population is Muslim men of prime fighting age. Remember, we're giving the Democrats the benefit of the doubt. Their percentages are way low on this. Like, try 20 to 24% of the refugees are able-bodied men of fighting age. But using their numbers, 2% of the men, that's 200 men in that population, that refugee population of 10,000 flooding into the country. And in a survey done of Syrian refugees, a startling figure, which is going to tie into the end of this show and Ryan Morrow's thoughts on refugeeism, a startling figure emerged, and this is just the people that admitted it. 13% of the refugee population supports ISIS ideology. They may not like ISIS specifically, but they support its ideology, radical jihad, Islamists, Islamic extremism. Let's take that 13%. Never mind the fact women can be suicide bombers too, and we have lots of instances of kids doing nasty things in Afghanistan and Iraq after being brainwashed. But just the 2% of the Syrian population, a Syrian refugee population, that's 200 men times 13%. What do you come up with, folks? 26 men who, using the Democrats' own figures, are prone to or part of the radical Islamist thought process. Whether or not they are card-holding ISIS members when they walk in the country is kind of irrelevant. If they are radicalized, they don't need ISIS to do nasty things in America. We've had plenty of examples of that. They can get their inspiration from ISIS on the web and go out and do their lone wolf ditties. It's all the same. It is all Islamic radicalism. It is all jihad. And it all results in severe injury, death, murder, mayhem, an emotional nuclear winter for families and friends of victims, no matter where occasioned. And if we use the Democrats' number, going through my math, we have now 26 men who are radicalized, support ISIS ideology, whether or not they're an ISIS member. And how many folks got hurt and killed in Paris with somewhere between 24 and 26 terrorists when they really got counted? 500. So Barack Obama and his progressive friends, as O'Reilly and Miller would call them, who have Muslim sympathies, they're obviously willing, based on their own statistics, to risk 500 American lives and, you know, 20 or 30,000 people and families, etc., that would be affected by anything happening to those 500 precious American lives, to get these refugees in the country. One has to wonder why. You know, when you take it all this, take a look at all this, and you know what, there's more. I mean, I can go on with dot after dot after dot. The portions of his own book, "If the Political Winds Blow Ill, I Will Side with the Muslims." The most beautiful sound in the world is the sound of the call to prayers in the evening. I mean, on and on. Bowing to King Faisal from Saudi Arabia. The Cairo speech, you know, striking, unable to speak the words Islam, denying the religious backbone of ISIS and other terror groups, which is radical Islam. The Iran bomb deal. The despicable treatment of Israel, the despicable treatment of the secular government in Egypt after it booted out the Muslim Brotherhood, the support of the Muslim Brotherhood, the installing of Muslim folks from the Brotherhood into places of high national security, the stripping of training manuals, anti-terror training manuals of the word jihad, radical Islam, you name it. And now this, the refugee thing. And by the way, that quick little bullet point, the machine gun rat-a-tat-tat of additional dots. Yeah, I got plenty of ammo left. I got a full belt 100 yards long. I could stand here for 2 hours and give you dots one after another every 10 seconds. But what's the point? Number one, you can listen to my back radio shows and hear most of them. And hear them from great guests like Claire Lopez and Trento and those guys. Folks who know way more about this than I do. My point is, folks, and I've said this for a while, impeachment is not enough. Indictment is more like it. And you know, Article 28 of the Constitution allows for removal of a president if he becomes unfit to command. Maybe it's time for somebody out there in the government or the Pentagon or somewhere, hello, anybody listening, to invoke Article 28. I mean, if you don't have the cojones to bring the guy up on treason, if you don't have the cojones to bring the guy up on criminal fraud, if you don't have the cojones, and to be honest with you, you can't get it done given the Democratic makeup of the Senate, to impeach the guy, why don't you remove him with Article 28? Along with his shadow government he has set up. Because it's now to the point where what Barry and Valerie and crew have set up, removing Valerie and Barry from the White House is not going to have a whole bunch of effect, unfortunately. So, one of the things you might want to do, because never mind what Reedy the Rancher says, and never mind what Paul the Pundit, I use that term, you know, just as a generic. Paul the Pundit on station ABC, DFG, XKY, wherever, TV or radio, whatever Paul the pundit of the day has to say on this stuff, which is usually a repeat of what the pundit before him said. It might be worth your while to get this stuff from the horse's mouth. So I'm going to tell you about the monthly magazine that ISIS puts out. Pretty slick. And I don't mean slick good, I mean slickly done. The name of the magazine is Dabiq, D-A-B-I-Q. Oddly enough, if you try and bring up Dabiq.com, you find a domain name for sale. There's something really weird going on. But I'm not here to discuss technical weirdities, nor am I qualified to. But if you just type the word Dabiq, D-A-B-I-Q, in your search bar, you'll get a number of links on a Google search. And you can actually read current and previous issues of the official ISIS magazine, for the most part, printed in English. And you can hear what ISIS has to say for yourself, without any filter. And at the same time, when you're done retching over what they have to say, you can get a breath of fresh air of truth and sanity if you then put in clarion.org, the Clarion Project. In fact, you can just type in Clarion Project in your search bar, which will bring you to one of the foremost think tanks in the world dedicated to analyzing, understanding, and exposing radical Islam and combating it. One of the people who were, and I've interviewed several people from that outfit, they are terrific. Many former CIA operatives, I mean, these are not academians. These are seasoned, many of them field people, with years of experience behind enemy lines and intelligence. Well worth reading. Well worth subscribing to, for that matter. One of those guys is Ryan Morrow. I've been talking about him a little bit. Ryan Morrow wrote a really interesting piece on the 19th of November. That was Thursday, 2 days ago. And it made me stop and think. Because what he said, and I'm going to summarize it for you. The refugees from Syria and elsewhere. Don't forget the Somali refugees, particularly around Minnesota, etc., and the fact that the hotel in Mali was just hit by an Al-Qaeda branch from Somalia. I mean, you know, the dangers and threats and potential problems are everywhere. This is not just Syrian refugees. For that matter, these guys could come across the Rio Grande and probably be welcomed. But anyway, what Ryan had to say is the Syrian refugees are subject to a tough vetting process.